Let me start with prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, I ask that you remove anything from my heart that would keep me from being the servant that I need to be and the servant that you expect me to be. Father, I ask that you open the ears to us all that will understand and glean from this message those character traits and those desires that we need to have as we enter the end times. And Father, thank you so much for your patience, for your willingness to allow us to be a part of your ministry. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Now, I got to tell y'all, I haven't said this in a while, but I am so glad to be back home in my home church. You know, I don't mind where I'm at temporarily, but I sure do love being back home with this family. So when I come and hug on you, it's not that I'm strange, I just miss you. Pitfalls of compromise. I should have Revelation 2:17. Maybe not. Don't worry about it. Revelation 2:17. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna for him to eat. And will give him a white stone. And on the stone a new name, which no one knows except him who receives it. Have we ever compromised? At home, at work, with the world? Does it come easy or is it difficult now? When we compromise, we fail to accept the challenges before us in life head on and choose to take the easier route. I tell you, the things that we fail to conquer now, we will be tested on again. So says the scriptures. It's a slippery slope once an individual begins to compromise on their integrity. When they begin to compromise on their beliefs and the standards that they hold, this affects our relationship with God. It is much easier to take the next step downward and further downward as we begin to compromise. You know, it's a dangerous thing to ignore the promptings of the Holy Spirit upon our conscience. Repeatedly yielding to temptations of Satan in the face of clear teachings of our scripture. This is a fatal disease that is sweeping Christendom and affecting the Adventists as well. We are not immune. A pastor and author, Paul Chapman, makes this statement. Every generation must fight its own battles over compromise if we are to successfully steward the truth and pass it on to the next generation. We have no choice but to understand and compromise, recognize what it is, and then reject that compromise. So, what is compromise? If you speak of compromise in terms of our everyday life, it's not so bad. You and your wife wish to go out to eat. You want pizza. She wants a salad bar. Maybe you need to find a restaurant and compromise that has both the restaurant and salad bar. Maybe Pizza Inn or Pizza Hut. Maybe you and your family wish to take a trip on Sunday. Some want to go to the beach. Some want to go to the lake. You need to find a compromise in there. Maybe you can find a beach that's on a big lake and a big beach, and you've got both options. However, if you're smart, mom breaks all ties. I have found that out the wrong way. You may find a compromise that, everyone can live with. That's just being flexible for others to also enjoy themselves. Now, sometimes I may be wanting to compromise with my wife when she asked me to repair a window, the window screen that one of the dogs has damaged while scratching on the window, letting us know that she wants in. Johnette wants me to do it now. I'm willing to wait. I'm willing to wait till that dog dies of old age. Because I know that as soon as I fix that window, that dog is going to tear that screen again. And then that dog may not be with us very much longer. We're still in negotiations on this one. However, compromise in the spiritual sense is quite different. As Chapman said, this compromise is to make a dishonorable or shameful confession. This form of compromise is always wrong, especially when it comes to the things of God. When it comes to compromising to our habits that we have in this world, habits lead to actions. Repeated actions lead to habits. And habits develop character. Who are we? We're the sum total choices of our thoughts, our attitudes, our actions, and our habits. Character is what defines us. And the choices we make determine the character we will have. The battle is for our intellect. It's a battle for our mind. Satan will do everything he can in this godless, secular society to influence our thought process. He wishes to capture our thought patterns. Samuel Johnson, a popular author, put it this way. The chains of habit are too weak to be felt until they are too strong to be broken. I'm going to say that again. The chains of habit are too weak to be felt until they are too strong to be broken. If we understand that God should always get his way, then we would not be guilty of compromising ourselves, our faith, our relationship with him. We would not be in danger of losing our opportunity to be a child of God. Compromising the principles of God's word does not happen all at once. This is a gradual, slow step downward when we put that thing down and don't pick it up for a while. A Chinese proverb put it this way: a journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. Amen. One of the clearest examples in the Bible of compromise is Pilate in the last days of Christ's life. Now, the story of Pilate is instructive because the mob is coming for us too. According to Revelation, we too will face judgment. We are to face civil penalties and ultimately death for some in the last days. So the story of Pilate is instructive. We find this story in Luke chapter 12. If you remember, the crowd is clamoring for the blood of Jesus. They want to see Jesus crucified. They bring Jesus to Pilate and they begin to condemn him and they say, I'm looking for Luke 23:2. They may not be in order. Can you give me the Luke 23:2? And they begin to accuse him. Can you find that? Yeah, thank you. And they began to accuse him, saying, "We found this fellow perverting the nations and forbidding to pay taxes to Caesar, saying to himself, 'He is Christ, the king.'" Pilate interviews Jesus. You know, at the end of this interview, he sees in Christ's demeanor godliness. He sees in Christ's very attitude not one of a criminal, but one who is innocent. And Pilate says, I find no fault in this man. Now, If you find no fault in him, what should you do? Here is the beginning of compromise of Pilate. You should release him, but to satisfy the crowd, Pilate says, well, with Herod in town, I'll send Jesus to Herod. Pilate is wanting to wash his hands of this whole situation. Can there be a time in our life today that if we act as we should as Christians, we may be set apart from the crowd, maybe shunned by our friends and family because we're weird or strange, unyielding possibly, taking this religious thing a little too serious? So Pilate sends Jesus to Herod, and Herod quizzes Christ. Herod interrogates Christ and finds no fault in Christ, so Herod sends Jesus back to Pilate. Once again, Pilate is having to face his compromise. Lesson number one. The things you fail to conquer now, you'll be tested on again. Those sins that the Holy Spirit convicts you of today, those actions that you have compromised on, God will bring them back around again and again and again. God desires that you allow the Holy Spirit to give you victory over the weaknesses, this failing. So Pilate could not ignore that he had compromised concerning Jesus and he was being accused, what he was being accused of. So we read this story here in verse 14. Is that Luke? There we go, in line. Said to them, you have brought me this man as one who misleads the people. And indeed, having examined him in your presence, I found no fault in this man concerning those things which you accuse him. No, neither did Herod, for I sent you back to him. And indeed, nothing deserving death has been done by him. I will therefore chastise him and release him. Why are you going to chastise Christ if you've already said that he's an innocent man? If you find no fault in him, why chastise him? Why whip him? Why subject him, an innocent man, to the cruel and barbaric flagellations of a strong-armed Roman soldier just to appease the crowd? Can we be guilty of compromising so that we may not receive the ire of others? If the team fails at a project at work, do we look for someone to place the blame on so that we're not chastised for its failure? Do we hold others to a higher standard? Do we point our fingers at others knowing that we too have compromised ourselves concerning our faith? But no one knows our faults. At least for now. Pilate thought that if he showed some blood to the crowd, just a little, if he showed the bloody back of Christ, they'd be satisfied. But the beating only made the crowd more anxious for Christ's death. It only made the crowd more incensed with anger to see Jesus die after the beating. So it is amazing when you think about it why he said to them the third time, what evil has he done? I will chastise him. Then he shows the bloody back of Jesus and asks, who shall I release? And the crowd calls out the name Barabbas. Barabbas. Release to us Barabbas. What Pilate does next is one of the saddest verses in the Bible. We find this in Luke 23:24. So Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they requested. What a compromise. He finds no fault in Jesus. He sends Jesus to Herod, who finds no fault. Pilate has Jesus whipped with that Roman whip that has jagged metal and bone on the end of it, which tears the back of Jesus. Pilate offered a choice to the mob and the crowd waiting for Jesus' death. He offered another option to release Jesus over the criminal Barabbas. He plays to the crowd, trying to get out of the situation he has found himself in, and the crowd calls for Jesus to be killed. Question. When the crowd comes for those that follow the Lord today, when there is pressure to fall in line with the world thinking of today, will you, will I, compromise to save ourselves from being chastised, from being imprisoned? How easy will Satan make it for us to compromise our faith? Can he convince us that we have a responsibility to care for our families, to provide for them? Do I not have a responsibility to my family to go along with the crowd so I may continue to provide for them, to care for those that depend upon me? Pilate listens to the crowd rather than the convictions of his conscience. God has sent a dream to his wife to warn him of the dangers of violating his conscience. Now, Ellen White makes an insightful statement about Pilate's compromise and the desire of ages, page 732. If at first Pilate had stood firm, refusing to condemn a man whom he found guiltless, he would have broken the fatal chain that was to bind him in remorse and guilt as long as he lived. Had he carried out his conviction of right, the Jews would not have presumed to dictate to him. Christ would have been put to death. Christ had to die. But the guilt would not have rested upon Pilate. But Pilate had taken step after step in violation of his conscience. He had excused himself from judging with justice and equity. Now, we know Pilate was not a good man. He was not a fair-minded man to begin with. We return to the understanding that our character comes from our decisions that we make daily. If we choose to compromise often, how may we stand strong and choose what is right when we have built a life upon compromise? Pilate, he now found himself in a hopeless situation in the hands of the priests and rulers. His wavering and indecision proved his ruin. When you and I are faced with a test, with temptation to compromise, your indecision can prove your ruin. There is somebody that is sacrificing their body on the altar of indulgence, following the desires of the fleshly inclinations rather than standing firm with Christ. There are those that are eating what they want, drinking what they want, knowing that it is destroying their bodies, feeling the convictions of the Holy Spirit not to do it, but doing it. Feeling the convictions of the Holy Spirit not to do it, but doing it. You know, some of the things that we watch on TV, on the internet, are not in harmony with God's will. You profess to be a Christian, but we're compromising our integrity. There's somebody among us that God is leading to be faithful in their tithes and their offerings, but we make all kinds of excuses and we compromise. There's somebody we know that God is calling to keep the Bible Sabbath, but we compromise our integrity just for some money or pleasures. When we compromise our integrity, we're on a slippery slope downward. We must open our hearts and minds to the movings of the Holy Spirit. Pilate yielded to the demands of the crazed mob. Rather than risk losing his position, he delivered Jesus up to be crucified, the very thing he dreaded when it came upon him. Desire of Ages, 738. His honors were stripped from him, this is Pilate. He was cast down from the high office and stung by remorse and wounded pride. Not long after the crucifixion, he ended his own life. So all who compromise with sin will gain only sorrow and ruin. Pilate's compromise at the end of Jesus' life is a visible example of the test that God's people will go through at the end time. Once again, the mob is coming. Once again, the persecution will arise. Once again, we will face civil penalties and the threat of death. But we need not fear. We need not fear. Writing to the church at Smyrna, who faced persecution in the first century, Jesus says in the book of Revelation, "Fear not any of those things that you will suffer." Fear not the church of Smyrna being persecuted. Isaiah adds, we need not fear as we serve a Christ that is stronger than all the powers of hell arraigned together, when in his power, by his grace, through his mercy, we stand firm. He stands by our side. We never stand alone. And us and Jesus are always the majority. Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, for I'm with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will hold you up with my righteous right hand. The Christ who is acquainted with trial will get us through that final trial. The Christ who's acquainted with suffering will sustain us through our suffering. The Christ who faced death is the resurrection and the life. Through his death, we have assurances that the gift of eternal life is ours. There's no question. Christ's grace is sufficient. And he will see us through all the final crisis as we trust him. The question before us is this: how do we prepare for the final crisis? How do we stand firm in the midst of civil penalties that are inflicted upon us? The physical punishment that comes to us, and ultimately a death decree for some, how do we stand firm when we cannot buy or sell? The preparation for tomorrow is today. The preparation for tomorrow is today. You will never stand firm in the future if you're making compromises today in your life, because compromise is the slippery slope downward. There are three basic principles of standing firm in the last day. Know Christ, know his word, and know his power. Know Christ, know his word, and know his power. If we're not searching each day for a better understanding of who Christ is, and that came up in the Sabbath school lesson. Marcus asked that question. Are you only wanting more milk? Are you wanting some meat? If we're not searching each day more about his word, the scriptures he has provided, if we're not searching each day, establishing a closer relationship with Jesus, that we may better know his power, we will not be able to stand against the crowd. Could we not be the crowd? Could we find ourselves yelling, "Give us Barabbas," if this would give us what we think we need to be happy, to fill our bellies, to give us access to those things that we've become accustomed to? Desire of Ages, page 121 to 122. In the last great conflict of the controversy with Satan, those who are loyal to God will see every earthly support cut off because they refused to break his laws and obedience in earthly power, to earthly powers. They would be forbidden to buy or sell. Jesus is leading us in an increasingly, I'm going to put it another way. Jesus is leading us to depend upon him and him alone. Not the church or its leaders, not any organizations or institutions. Now, don't misunderstand me. God has given us his church to provide us with our spiritual strength, provide us with guidance. He has given us the church to help us avoid doctrinal pitfalls and warning us against deception. However, this church is not a substitute for a personal relationship, an intimate relationship with Jesus. When we feel that the church has let us down, when we feel that the church has not responded as it should have, members have not treated us as we felt they should have. God allows organizations at times to not meet our needs. Why? Because God wishes that we turn to him and him alone for our strength and our comfort. We are in training for that day when compromise will be the status quo. The world will accept that which it knows or suspects is not doctrine because they believe it will make things easier for them. Testimonies for the Church, Volume 5. Ellen White. We must stand in defense of the truth and righteousness when the majority forsake us. The church, organizations of faith, should never become a substitute for the personal relationship of God. One of the most memorable Sabbaths I've experienced was when the Warren Church building had been flooded for the second time, and we decided to meet at the head of Kirby Nature Trail between Koontz and Warren. One of the most memorable Sabbaths I've ever had in my life. I can't wait till I get another reason to go do that again. They had a devotional and then a nature hike with the church family. Never have I felt more in relationship with Jesus than at that time. It took a disaster to put us in that situation that I believe many will not forget. They did not compromise. They did not say, oh, how terrible it is that our church building is flooded. Now we may not worship. No. They proved that the church is us. They did not compromise a Sabbath and not fellowship. They did what they must despite the trials of weather. We may find ourselves once again in fellowship in the woods, at a neighbor's home, or wherever God leads us, because the world has turned their hatred toward us, God's people. Will we compromise for our safety? Will we compromise our faith because our neighbors have accused us of the ills of the world? As Satan deceives the world with great miracles, Satan giving the world false truths without leaning on Scripture to discern what is truth and what is false, we will be standing alone as the world looks at us as the problem. These people, they're keeping everyone from a blissful world. You out there, all you Sabbath keepers, all you people that are believing in the Ten Commandments, all you people that are living your lives based upon the examples that Jesus gave, y'all are the problem. Y'all are why this world isn't being the way it's supposed to be. Let me close with this comment from Ellen White down in the Great Controversy. None but those who have fortified the mind with the truths of the Bible will stand through the last great conflict. To every soul will come the searching test. Shall I obey God rather than man? The decisive hour is even now at hand. Our feet are planted on the rock of God's immutable word. Are we prepared to stand firm in the defense of the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus? Are we preparing today for tomorrow? Let us rejoice that we have Jesus, who is strong enough, loving enough to be there with us through this end. Thank you all very much.